بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكر اليأس من روح الله والأمن من مكر الله The chapter with regards to the mention of having despair and giving up hope in the mercy of Allah. And the chapter likewise with regards to the mention of feeling safe and secure from the plot of Allah, meaning from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَابُ ذِكْرِ الْيَأْسِ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ وَالْأَمْنِ مِنْ مَكْرِ اللَّهِ The chapter with regards to clarifying the severity of these two sins, great and major sins of the heart. The first one is to despair and to lose hope and to give up faith in the mercy of Allah. And the second one is its opposite entirety and contrary to that, and that is to feel safe. To feel safe from the plan and the plot of Allah, meaning from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are two major diseases that can afflict the heart of an individual and corrupt a person's deen if he were to lose hope and to despair in the mercy of Allah and in the relief and the aid of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will cause him to give up hope in his actions, and he will leave off the righteous deeds and actions, and he will become engulfed because of this despair and this grief that he has found, and the fact that he has given up hope in the mercy of Allah. He will leave off the actions, and he will leave off the good deeds, and he will not be encouraged to repent. And this will cause him to delve deeper and deeper into sin. And this person, he may claim that this is from the fear of Allah. But this type of fear here, this is al-khawf al-madhmum. This is a blameworthy type of fear. A type of fear of the punishment of Allah that would cause a person to give up hope in the mercy of Allah. And to give up hope in the aid and the help of Allah. This is a great sin. And many of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this sin is greater than the sin that one committed in the first place. And the fact that a person, he would commit sins and he would disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he knows that. And then after this, he would look into himself and he would look into his sins, and he would see the magnitude of his sins and the greatness of his sins and the numbers of his sins. And then he would think that his sins are too great and Allah will never forgive him. And he would think that his sins are too great and Allah will never forgive him. And this is greater than the sins themselves, to have this idea and to think about Allah in this manner. And this is from su al-dhan billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a bad thoughts about Allah azza wa jal. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives all sins. He forgives all sins for those who repent before they die. Those who repent sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Him and take a path to Him and His mercy and His pleasure, then they will find Allah the most forgiving and merciful. So a believer, he should never have despair. He should never have despair in the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah and the acceptance of Allah of his repentance. Rather, he should have high hopes for that. Contrary to this, he should have high hopes for that. So the opposite of this affair here is ar-raja'. Ar-raja fi maghfirati Allahi azza wa jalla wa fi rahmatihi, to hope for his forgiveness and to hope for his mercy. So we have seen in the previous classes that these actions of the heart here that are considered major sins, they have opposites. And the opposites of these sins here are actually the ubudiyat of the heart and the actions of servitude. And that the heart will apply and submit and surrender to Allah. So from that is ar-raja and ar-ragba, and to hope and to desire and to want the pleasure of Allah and the reward from Allah, and to want and to hope and the mercy of Allah and the aid and the help of Allah. And the opposite of that is this affair here, al-ya's min rohillah, al-ya's min rohillah, that he would give up hope, and he would have despair in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. On the other hand, the extreme opposite of this here is al-amnu min makrillah, that one, he would feel safe, that one, he will feel safe and secure, and he's sound and he's good in his faith and his deen, in his life. He feels safe from the plot of Allah, min makrillah, from the plot and the plan of Allah, meaning from the punishment of Allah, from the punishment of Allah. And he would feel safe like this, and he would believe that he's good, and he would feel like he has done the best of deeds and the likes like this, and that his deeds will carry him to the Jannah, and that he is from the people of piety, and he will praise himself and feel good about himself and feel safe from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, this is contrary to that great action of worship, which is an obligation, and that is al-khawfu min Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have fear of Allah, to have fear of Allah. So this one is the opposite of that. So the means to remove these two major sins and to be free from them and to be safe from them is to have their opposites, and that is al-raja'u wal-khawf. Al-raja'u wal-khawf, to have hope, the correct hope, the correct and sincere true hope for the pleasure of Allah and for the aid and the assistance and the help and the guidance from Allah and the success from Allah. And this true hope here that is correct, it will cause a person to work upon that path, and it will cause a person to strive upon that path. If that hope is sincere and pure and correct, then it will carry a person to do the good deeds, and it will carry a person to do that which is pleasing to Allah. And likewise, it would carry a person to seek repentance from his mistakes and errors, because the one who is hoping for something, the opposite of that comes along with him. And this is the issue here of al-khawf, and that he would fear Allah, that he would fear Allah, and that he would fear the punishment of Allah, and he would fear that Allah would abandon him and not help him and not aid him and not accept his deeds. Or he would fear that Allah would take him to account for his sins and hold him accountable for his actions. And he would have fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that if he were to leave off the obligations or to perform them negligently, that he would be taken to account. So therefore, he will work to perfect his deeds. He will work to perfect his deeds. Contrary to the one who is feeling safe from the punishment of Allah, then he will do bad deeds, and he will continue upon sins, all the while he feels like he's good. All the while he feels like he's good. And this is actually stemming from that foul creed, the foul creed of the Murji'ah. And those people who have believed that faith cannot be harmed by actions and by sins. And this is corrupt and a misunderstanding. And on the contrary, the other ideology and the corrupt belief that Allah will never forgive them is stemming from the opposite of that. And that is the corrupt creed of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, that they will perform actions and that the major sins will not be forgiven and the likes like this. But rather, a believer, he's contrary to that. He will be on a middle course. And Allah, he takes the people to account for their sins, no doubt. And he holds them accountable. And those who meet him with major sins, they're under the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal, the threat of punishment and anger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he forgives whom he wills. So they know this, and they will strive, and they will fear him. At the same time, they will hope for his mercy. And they will hope for his mercy, and at the same time, they will fear him. And this is what Allah, he has called to in his book. And likewise, this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has called to in his sunnah, that a believer, he will traverse upon the straight path in this manner, with hope in the mercy of Allah and the aid and assistance and the pleasure of Allah, at the same time with fear. At the same time with fear. Fear from the anger of Allah, that he will be rejected and that his deeds will not be accepted, and fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the case, and this is the way of a believer. He will traverse with hope and with fear, and he will not put one above the other. Rather, they will be equal. They will be equal. The people of knowledge have mentioned that the worship of the heart, and as a believer, he's traversing upon the straight path. There are three great pillars and foundations with regards to the worship of the heart. And the first one is love, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And that's the reality of al-ikhlas. And that's the reality of al-islam, to submit and to surrender to Allah with love. to submit and to surrender to Allah with sincere and pure love, preferring the love of Allah over everything, and loving Allah more than everything, and preferring that which Allah loves over everything, even one's desires, and one's family, and one's children, and this life altogether. This is the reality of al-Islam. Al-Islamu lillahi bit-tawheed. And this requires for him to have al-inqiyadu lillahi bit-ta'ah, to comply to him with obedience, and also to free himself from shirk, wal-bara'atu min shirki wa ahlihi, because he loves Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who loves something, he hopes to have that and to be near to that. And likewise, he's afraid that he will lose that. So in this manner, a believer, he will be traversing on the straight path with love. And this is the foundation, coming along with that hope and fear. Hope and fear. Whenever he has the love, he's striving to obtain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and be near the one he loves. And the hope will carry him to hasten to do that and to race to do that. And to have al munafisa, and to have competition upon obtaining the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fear will carry him and push him from behind, will push him from behind and keep him steadfast from falling back and leaving off the obligations of perpetrating the prohibitions. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that the person traveling on the straight path is like this, and it's similar to like a bird. It's similar to like a bird as he's flying through the sky. And the head of that bird is al-mahabba, and love. And love. The head of it is love. The head of the affair is love. And the two wings are hope and fear. Hope and fear. And if the head is gone, then no doubt the bird, he will not fly. He will not even be alive and not exist. And likewise, al-Islam, there must be love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And love of that which Allah loves. Meaning loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and loving the deen. And loving al-Islam and showing preference to that. And likewise, coming with that, the wings. Hope and fear. Hope and fear. If one of the wings were cut off, then the bird will not fly. If one of the wings were cut off, then the bird will not fly. And likewise, if one of the wings were advanced over the other one, then the bird will not go straight. Likewise. So they have to be equal. They have to be equal. That he will hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. At the same time, he fears. He fears the punishment and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who worships Allah Azza wa Jal with love only, then he will be a heretic like the Sufiyya and the likes like this, and they're misguided. And they're misguided, claiming that they worship Allah with love only. This is misguidance. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fear Allah and used to hope in them for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, likewise along with his love for Allah. And the one who has hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal without fear, then he will be from the murji'ah, or either ascribing to them directly, or he'll be upon their path, and he'll be affected with their creed, and he'll be upon their way. And the one who has shown preference to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and left off the hope and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be like the Khawarij. Then he'll be like the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, those who have fallen into despair, and the likes with regards to the punishment and the threats of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Muwahid, and the one who is upright on a correct path, he is the one who loves Allah Azza wa Jal and worships him with that love. And along with that, he has fear and he has hope. He has fear and he has hope. So contrary to giving up hope and to having despair in the mercy of Allah, is to have hope in the mercy of Allah. Is to have sincere and true hope for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And contrary to feeling safe from the plot of Allah and safe from the plan of Allah and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to fear Him. Is to fear Him. The legislated fear and the legislated hope. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned about the to feel safe from the makr of Allah. Some of them mentioned meaning the punishment of Allah. And others, they mention that it's the punishment of Allah, but it's more specific to that, and it's not just the punishment, but rather al-istidraj. Those who feel safe from the punishment of Allah, meaning that they will be led into their destruction. And many of those people who feel safe, they will be individuals who will be steadfast upon sins. And they will make their sins apparent. And then whenever you ask them about that or speak to them about that, they'll say, oh, he says la ilaha illallah, or he's praised, or he said he made hajj this many times, and he will rely upon the faith that he has, or the good deeds that he has, all the while he is steadfast upon sin, outwardly and apparently. All the while he is steadfast daily upon sins, major sins, and the likes like this. And then he, whenever he's questioned about that or advised about that, he will say that, for example, the taqwa is in my heart. He says, at-taqwa ha-huna, the piety is in my heart. And he will say statements like this, oh, I'm a believer, or I say la ilaha illallah, or I pray, or I do this, and I give this charity, and the likes like this. All the while he is taking earnings that are haram, and dealing in transactions that are haram, and using this wealth to purchase the food and to feed his family with this wealth that is from haram, and blatantly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and having no care or concern for his commandments or prohibitions. And then in the end he says that Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. That Allah is the most forgiving and most merciful. This is not sincere and true hope. Rather, this is al-ghurur. This is called al-ghurur, and deception. And this person has been deceived because of his ignorance and jahl. So these two issues here, they're major issues. They're major issues and major sins of the heart, and that is to give up despair. That is to give up hope and to have despair in the mercy of Allah. And the help and the aid of Allah, and likewise to feel safe from the plot and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah, the Most High, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yusuf, whenever Yaqub is sending his children to go look for Yusuf and his brother Benjamin. And they are thinking that possibly they will never find him, or that something has happened to him. But Yaqub, he said to them, alayhi salam, he said, وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope. Do not despair in the ruh of Allah. The people of Nara, as they mentioned, ruh Allah, meaning the rahmatillah, the mercy of Allah. Also has been mentioned faraj. Allah wa tanfisahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the faraj, meaning the relief and the aid and the help at times of difficulty. Do not despair about that. And the mercy of Allah will come, and likewise the aid of Allah will come, and the ease will come. And this is from the sunnah of Allah, that he will try individuals with hardship and difficulty, and after that ease will come. And after that ease will come. So a believer, he knows Allah and he has knowledge of these affairs, so therefore he will not despair. But rather, when hardship comes, he will hope and he will wait for the ease, and he will repent and he will return to Allah, and he will seek forgiveness, and he will seek aid and help, and he will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truthfully and sincerely, all the while waiting for the relief. And this is relief before relief. And this is aid and help before aid and help. Yani before the true aid comes outwardly, he's been aided inwardly and spiritually, that he has turned to Allah, that he has remembered Allah, that he has submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal in humbleness and humility. And he has repented and turned to him, knowing that he's in need of Allah to aid him and to assist him from this affair, and that the command is in Allah's, and that he is a slave under his decree. So therefore, this is the way of a believer. This is the way of the believer. As for the disbelievers, then what will they do? They do not have this knowledge, and they do not believe in the decrees of Allah and the authority and the power and the command of Allah. And they will despair, and they will think that there's no hope for them, and they will lose hope, and the likes like this. And this is a major sin. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one despairs and gives up hope and the mercy and the aid and assistance and the relief from Allah Azza wa Jalla except for disbelieving people. Except for disbelieving people. Likewise, similar like this, al-ya'as min ruhillah, also another term which is similar in meaning is al-qunut. Al-qunut min qanata. Qanata yaqnatu, qunutan, which also means to have despair and to give up hope. To have despair and to give up hope. And also like this, another prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned similar, yani to this affair, whenever Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was given glad tidings of a child that is coming, and then he was amazed at that affair, and he was amazed that he is going to have a child coming in his old age and the likes like this, and he was not in despair, rather he was amazed at that, and the angels told him to not despair, and or to not be from those who despair. And then Ibrahim, he said, قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُونَ. And who gives up hope and the mercy of his Lord except for the misguided. So therefore, from the attributes of those people who give up hope and lose faith in Allah and do not have mercy, hope for his mercy, and they have given up and have despair from the assistance and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the attributes of the disbelievers and the attributes of those who are misguided. So it is major misguidance for a believer to think that Allah will not forgive him, or that Allah will not aid him and assist him and take him out of hardship and difficulty. rather than one who calls on Allah, then Allah will aid him and Allah will respond to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts and He responds to those who call Him, especially in times of need and dire hardship and difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yujibu al-muttar idha da'ahu. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responds to him. He responds to him whenever He calls him, and He responds to His slaves whenever they call on Him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a believer, he will not have despair. Rather, he will have hope, and he will take the means to achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to obtain that and to get that and to get the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after this, the author, he mentioned wa qawlihi ta'ala, and the statement of Allah the Most High, فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. And on the other hand, and likewise, no one feels safe from the plot of Allah except for the people who are losers. And so this is clear that these are from the major sins, those who are losers, meaning they have lost. And in the end, they will be losers, and they will not have good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have lost their souls, meaning that because they have felt safe from the plot of Allah, and they have felt safe from the punishment of Allah. And this feeling of safety in their heart has caused them to commit sins outwardly and inwardly and publicly and privately, and to show no respect for the commands of Allah, and to blatantly violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His limits subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they feel safe and they feel like they're good, and they say, Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. But rather, this is the case. Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful for those who take a path to His mercy, and for those who seek His forgiveness. As for those who do not take a path to His mercy and do not seek His forgiveness by repenting to Him and striving to do the deeds that are pleasing to Him and avoiding the actions of disobedience that are displeasing to Him, then Allah, He is severe in punishment. The one who knows that Allah, He is severe in punishment for those who disobey Him and turn away from His obedience. And likewise, He is forgiving and merciful for those who repent to Him and take a path to His mercy and forgiveness. Then this will carry a believer to work. He will work to avoid and stay away from that punishment that is severe. And likewise, he will work and he will strive to obtain the mercy and forgiveness that is vast and that is great. Allah, He mentioned in His book, اِعْلَامُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah, he said, no, you must know, اِعْلَامُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. You must know. It's a command from Allah Azza wa Jalla that you must know this, meaning learn this and be aware of this and have certainty about this, that Allah, He is severe in punishment. And that Allah, wa inna Allah ghafur rahim, and that Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. So this is the way of a believer. He's traversing this life with love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love of the deen of Allah. Loving the commandments is from loving Allah, and loving the legislation and the limits of Allah is from loving Allah, and honoring and having high respect and veneration for the prohibitions of Allah, and avoiding them entirely is from the love of Allah and from the magnification of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who truly loves Allah, he loves His legislation and he loves His deen. He loves His commandments, and he honors and respects the prohibitions of Allah, and he would avoid them and stay away from them. And this is from the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the way of a believer. Contrary to this issue, one who falls into one of these two affairs, he has fallen off the straight path in this manner, falling into major sin. Whether he has lost hope in the mercy of Allah, or whether he has felt safe from the plot and the punishment of Allah, both of these are major sins. The way to be safe from that is to know Allah Azza wa Jal, to know Him by his names and His attributes, and to know Him by His legislation and His deen, and to know Him by how He has mentioned Himself in His book, and to know Him by looking at what He has mentioned about the previous nations, those previous nations before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise those who opposed him in his time sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the outcome of them. Look up at the outcome of those who opposed the message from Allah and His messengers. They were destroyed. And they were humiliated. And they were humiliated in this life before the hereafter. And the hereafter is even worse. And likewise, those who believed in Him and followed His messengers, and they took a path to Him and to His mercy and to His forgiveness, even if before they had great sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pardoned them and forgave them. And he rectified their affairs and he guided them upon a straight path. And they had success, and the outcome was for them in this life before the hereafter likewise. And before the hereafter, the good is for them. So therefore, a believer, he will take a path to Allah in this manner. And he will avoid these affairs. He will avoid these affairs. And it's been mentioned that there were some people who came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, "Yani sami'na qawlaka ya Muhammad. We heard your statement, O Messenger, O Muhammad. We heard your statement, O Muhammad, yani what you're talking about. Wa innahu la hasan. And it's very, it's good. We like it. And it's khayr, what you're talking about and what you're calling to, we heard about this call and it's nice, we like it." They said, but we're people, we have great sins. We're people, we have great sins. And he meant that they used to, they before in Jahiliyyah, they had great crimes like fornication and murder and the likes like this. And it was revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verses that's in Surah Zumar. Who can remind me of the verses? قُلِ عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا قُلِ عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to my slaves who have transgressed against their own souls, do not despair in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah, He forgives all sins. He forgives all sins. And it's so long as they repent before they die, before the soul is taken and it reaches the throat, before they witness the angel coming for them, if they repent, even if it's at the end of the life, at the end of the life, yani at any time, so long as they repent before death comes, then it will be accepted from them, and Allah, He forgives all sins. But this is for those who repent and take the path to Allah. They come to Allah with a heart that is repentant, and they confess the lordship of Allah and the divinity of Allah, and the fact that He is the one who's worthy of worship alone, and they surrender and submit to Him as Muslims in repentance, then Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. As for those who blatantly disobey Him and oppose Him and show no concern or care for His commandments nor His prohibitions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is severe in punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He is severe in punishment. So this is the affair of a believer, hoping in Allah and His mercy and fearing His punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, and Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu annahu qal, Akbaru al-kabair al-ishraku billah, wal-amnu min makrillah, wal-kunutu min rahmatillah, wal-ya'su min ruhillah. Rawahu Abdul Razzaq. He says that it's been narrated from Ibn Mas'ud. This is al-hadith. موقوف الحديث الموقوف. This hadith is موقوف. موقوفٌ على ابن مسعود, meaning it's the statement of Ibn Mas'ud. He's the one who is saying this, رضي الله عنه. He says the greatest of the major sins is to associate partners with Allah, and to feel safe from the plot and the punishment of Allah, and to give up hope in the mercy of Allah, and to have despair from the aid and the relief from Allah. These are from the greatest of the major sins, he's saying, رضي الله عنه. The author, he mentions after this, he says, وَأَخْرَجُ ابن أبي حاتم and ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا. And also it has been narrated or collected by ابن أبي حاتم رحمه الله تعالى from the hadith of ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما from مرفوعا, meaning it's from the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, وَلَفْظُهُ سُئِلَ مَا الْكَبَائِرِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, what are the major sins? فَقَالَ أَلِشْرَاقُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْأَمْنُ مِنْ مَكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالْيَأْسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed them that the major sins are to associate partners with Allah, and to feel safe from the plan and the plot of Allah, meaning the punishment of Allah, and to give up hope and to have despair in the mercy of Allah. So these narrations here, they are authentic, and there are a number of benefits here, and from them we see that which has preceded, that this book is about the major sins, but even the major sins they fluctuate, and that's from here in the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, Akbar al-Kabair. And likewise, it had proceeded from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shall I not inform you of Akbar al-Kabair, the greatest of the major sins? So there are sins, and the sins are to general categories, minor sins and major sins. But a believer, he will not look at the size of the sin, but rather he will look at the greatness and the majesty and the favor and blessing of the one who is sinning against. The one who is sinning against. He will not look at the size of the sins. So he will look at the one who he is disobeying, his Lord, who is kind and who is merciful and who has given him much grace and good from his bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one who is disobeying. This is the one who is disobeying, whether it's a major or a minor sin. But no doubt the major sins are greater. And from the major sins, there are those that are even greater. There are those that are even greater. Some of the major sins are more severe than others. And likewise, the minor sins we have seen as well, that by persisting upon them, this turns them into a major sin. This turns them into a major sin. So here we have here, Akbar al-Kabair, mentioning here these affairs to feel safe from the plot of Allah. Not only is it a major sin, but it's from the greatest of the major sins. To feel safe and to feel like a person and to rely upon a person's faith and a person's deen and rely upon a person's deeds and say that he's a Muslim and say, well, he says, La ilaha illallah, and then just persist upon sins. This is a foul. This is a foul creed in a foul way. And we see today, many of the Muslims are tried by this. Many of the Muslims, they have this ideology, and they have businesses and they have stores and gas stations with foul items for sale. And whenever they're questioned about these affairs, they will say the likes of this. They'll say the likes of this. Yani, oh, I pray, or I made Hajj this many times, or I did this many times. These words, I heard them myself from individuals. This is known that they will rely upon this. And this is from this aspect here, feeling safe from the punishment of Allah. Rather, a believer, he will not feel safe from the punishment of Allah. Rather, he will be afraid that his faith will be stripped from him. A believer, he will be afraid that he will die in a manner that is not pleasing and that is not good. He will be afraid of having a foul ending and a foul death. This is the way of a believer. And we have seen previously, likewise, this is the way of the prophets before and from them, Ibrahim, that he's afraid, alayhi salatu wassalam, that he's building the house of Allah at the command of Allah. He's building the house of Allah at the command of Allah. And he himself is Khalil ar-Rahman. He is the most beloved to Allah. And likewise, our Prophet Muhammad is Khalil ar-Rahman likewise. But he's from the most beloved of the creation to Allah. He's building the house of Allah at the command of Allah. And he's afraid that Allah will not accept it from him. So a believer, he will not feel safe. The prophets, they did not feel safe themselves. And they are chosen and selected. نعم وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا. We've seen that before in the previous classes in that statement of Wuhayb ibn al-Ward rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he mentioned that. He said, oh, Khalil al-Rahman, يَا بْنِي بَيْتَ الرَّحْمَنِ بِأَمْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَيَخَافَ أَلَّا يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. That this is the Khalil al-Rahman, building the house of al-Rahman, at the command of al-Rahman. And then he's afraid it's not accepted from him. And then he's afraid it's not accepted from him. We mentioned previously in the previous class, Wahib ibn al-Ward, rahimahullah ta'ala, he is the sheikh of Ibn al-Mubarak. And he's also the sheikh, one of the teachers of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. And he died in the year 153. In that previous class, I flipped the numbers, 135. It's 153. Wahib ibn Ward, ibn al-Ward, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So a believer, he will be afraid. He'll be afraid, but he will not give up hope. He'll be afraid, but that fear will not cause him to give up hope. Rather, it will carry him to hope more and to work more. And the one who he's afraid like this, he will do deeds, and then he's afraid that they're accepted, so then he will throw them behind his back, and he will not look at them no more. So he'll be safe from ujub. He'll be safe from ujub. He will not look at his deeds and feel like he's got the best deeds and he prayed this prayer and that prayer and fasted this day and that day and gave this charity and that charity. Rather, he's afraid of Allah and he doesn't know if they're accepted. So he'll do them and he'll strive to perfect them, hoping for the mercy of Allah. And then he will put them behind his back and he will do more. The fear that he has and the uncertainty that he has of how his outcome will be or whether his deeds were accepted or not will carry him to do more. Will carry him to do more and to continue upon the straight path. And this is the way of a believer, and a good path that a believer who will worship Allah in this manner. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned some beautiful statements with regards to the affair of hope and fear, and how many people have been deceived by the bounties of Allah and the blessing of Allah, and they have been deceived by the whispers of shaitan, and they will see that they have much good in the dunya, and then they will be deceived by this, and they will be upon sins, and they will blatantly disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, yet the dunya will come to them. Yet the dunya, the worldly life will come to them, and the wealth will come to them, and the prosperity will come to them, and the likes like this. So they'll think that they're upon a good path, and that they're beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they have been deceived. And it has been mentioned from Ma'ruf al-Kharqi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's from the Atba' al-Tabi'in. He died in the year 200. He says, رَجَاءُكَ لِرَحْمَتِي مَنْ لَا تُوْثِعُهُ مِنَ الْخِذْلَانِ وَالْحُمْقِ مِنَ الْخِذْلَانِ وَالْحُمْقِ. And these are some beneficial statements with regards to this. The fact that you hope for the mercy of the one you do not obey, this is from abandonment and from stupidity. And he meaning that khidlan is the opposite of at-tawfiq. The only person who would hope for the mercy of the one he does not obey. He does not obey him, and then in the end he's hoping for his mercy. He says this is from khidlan. Allah is not helping him. Allah is not guiding him. Rather, Allah has abandoned him to his desires, and also this is from al-humq, yani from stupidity, yani from clear stupidity and foolishness. And likewise, it's been mentioned from the Salaf, they would say, irtija'u rahmati man la yuta' jahlun wa humqun. Yani the fact that somebody would hope for the mercy of the one from someone who is not obeyed. He's not obeyed, and then they're still hoping for his mercy and the likes like this. This is ignorance. This is ignorance and stupidity. This is ignorance and stupidity. Some of the Salaf, they mention, man qata'a 'udwan minka fi dunya li sariqati thalathati dirahim la ta'man an takuna 'uqubatuhu fi al-akhirati 'ala nahwi hadha. 'Ala nahwi hadha. And we pay attention to this statement, we think about this. And some of the Salaf, they said, that the one who will cut your hand off in this life, the one who will cut your hand off in this life for stealing 3 dirahim, for stealing 3 dirahim, 3 dirham, not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money for somebody for the hand to be chopped. It's not a lot of money. There's a limit, but it's not a lot. I don't know how much the dollars are. I haven't done the calculations. But here he's mentioning for 3 dirahim. لا تأمن أن تكون عقوبته في الآخرة على نحو هذا. Don't feel safe that the punishment in the hereafter is going to be similar like that. And this is from the decree of Allah, from the legislation of Allah, what He has decreed legislatively. And it's known that the legislation and the irada al-shar'iyya, that what Allah has, He wants, and legislatively, this is what's beloved to Him. So what's beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who steals, and he is caught stealing in an Islamic court, that his hand will be cut from the wrist. This is what Allah has decreed. If that's the punishment for that person in this life, so what do you think the punishment of those people will be in the hereafter? Those who disobey Him. Those who disobey, the one who has decreed and legislated that the hand will be chopped off for 3 dirahim in this life, then don't feel safe that the punishment in the hereafter will not be like this. It's going to be, there's punishment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And so fear that, and know that Allah, He is severe in punishment. And likewise that Allah, He is the most forgiving and merciful. So believer, he would never despair and give up hope in the mercy of Allah. But likewise, he will never feel safe from the plot and the plan of Allah and from the punishment of Allah. Rather, he will work. And whenever he falls short, then he will seek forgiveness and repentance. Rather, from the sunnah of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only to seek forgiveness, not only have we learned from his sunnah and his teachings to seek forgiveness whenever one slips, but rather when one does good. Rather, when one does good. Huh? What are we referring to? Rather, when one worships Allah, to seek forgiveness after that.
Ibrahim, when he's put up the Kaaba and his son put the wall up the Kaaba, he seeks forgiveness, asking that he was doing this
sincerely for him. Sahih. That's an example. We're talking about now specifically Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mentioned that a believer, he will work good, he will strive his best, and if he falls into sin, he will seek forgiveness. He will seek forgiveness for his sins, a believer. But not only that, not only have we learned and from the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from his sunnah that whenever we slip, we seek forgiveness. But rather, whenever we do good, we seek forgiveness.
Astaghfirullah,
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even throughout his daytime, he would say, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, more than 100 times. Some narrations, more than 70 times, meaning a number of times in one day. And he's the messenger of Allah. If he prayed the obligatory prayer, and the obligation is most beloved to Allah azza wa jal, yarhamukallah. And if he prayed the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligatory prayer, as soon as he finished, what did he do? As soon as he finished, seek forgiveness. Sometimes we may say these words, but we don't think about what we're saying and what we're doing. Why would he do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is the one who was most submissive. And he is the one who fears Allah the most. And he is the one who knows Allah the most. And he is the one who surrenders and submits to Allah the most out of the creation. He was selected for that. Al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then whenever he committed the greatest act of al-Islam from the deeds, as-salat, after that he would say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Looking to oneself. So a believer, he'll be like this. And likewise, this is what Allah has commanded in his book. Whenever you go for hajj, whenever you ثم أفيلوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفر الله. And after you make Arafat and Muzdalifah, and you go and you perform all these great actions of worship and this effort that you have to go for, then you seek forgiveness of Allah. This is so that a believer, he will not be amazed with himself and with his deeds. He will not feel safe from the plot of Allah. He will not say, I prayed, I did this, I did that, I made hajj. La. He would do that, nam. But he would hope for the mercy of Allah, but he will not feel safe. And he does not know if it's accepted. He does not know it. He hopes that it's accepted, but he doesn't know if it's accepted. So this hope here, and this uncertainty here, and this fear here carries him to continue to work upon the straight path. As for the one who despaired, he will leave off actions, and he will say, and he will not repent, because he will have despair. And as for the one who feels safe, then he will continue to do bad deeds and not even look at them or have concern for them. In this chapter, the author, he mentioned a narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, and we have seen some benefits from his biography. And likewise, he has mentioned that narration was collected by Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani. Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 211, and he's from Yemen. And it's mentioned about him that in his days, there was no travels or journeys seeking knowledge to a single individual more than him. And the people, they traveled to him from all over the lands. Imam Ahmad, he traveled to him, and he from Baghdad. And the scholars of hadith, they used to travel to him to get his narrations from Ma'mar specifically, and also from Az-Zuhri and from Salim. And he had a high chain. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a book, it's called Al-Musannaf. Al-Musannaf li Abd al-Razzaq al-San'ani. It's a very famous work of hadith collected with chapters similar to the chapters of fiqh. But he will mention, along with the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will mention along with that narrations of the Sahaba, and also likewise narrations of the Tabi'een. So if you wanted to, for example, look and find narrations from the Sahaba and the understanding of the Sahaba, or to find narrations of the Tabi'een and the likes like that, this is one of the places that you would look. You wouldn't look in Sahih Bukhari, for example. You wouldn't look in Al-Kutub al-Sittah, for example. Why not? Al-Kutub al-Sittah, all of them are narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very rarely you will find here and there sometimes narrations from the Sahaba, or maybe sometimes from the Tabi'in, but very rarely. The Kutub al-Sittah, they have, are the six books of hadith. These are specifically for the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other works collected with regards to this affair, and from them, al-Musannafat. We have discussed before that there are many different methodologies of the scholars of hadith, how they have collected the narrations. We have books called al-Jawami', which is called, the singular is Jami', like al-Jami' al-Sahih by al-Imam al-Bukhari, and likewise al-Jami' al-Sahih by al-Imam Muslim. A book that's called al-Jami' is a book that contains everything a believer needs in his life. It gathers everything from creed, from manners, from conduct, from tahara, from salat, ibadat, rulings, and likewise judgments, and heart softeners, and tafsir, and halal and haram, all of these are found in a book called Jami'. As for the other books, that's like Bukhari and Muslim. As also at Tirmidhi, it's considered from the four books of the Sunnah, yani as-Sunan al-Arba', but it's really Jami' from this aspect. As for the Sunan, as-Sunan al-Arba', yani Sunan Abi Dawood, and Sunan al-Nasa'i, or Sunan Ibn Majah, these books are not called Jawami', they're called Sunan. And they don't, if you look in these books, you will not find chapters of Iman, the chapters of faith or affairs related to Aqidah and Creed. You will not find Tafsir in there. You will not find these affairs, heart softeners there. You will find in there Halal and Haram, chapters about Ibadah and chapters about transactions, chapters about marriage and divorce and the like, like their Sunan, yani, and the Murattaba ala al-Abwab al-Fiqhiyah. And then so we have Jawami' and we have Sunan. And also we have books called As-Sihah, and also there are books that are specific for narrating hadith that are authentic only, like Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Also Sahih Ibn Hibban, before him Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, and his student Sahih Ibn Hibban. So these are books that are called Sahih. And in different methodologies, the authors or the scholars of hadith, they have authored their works. Also we have a books called Al-Masanid, or Musnad. And this is different from all of them that has preceded. And this is whenever the author, he will gather all of the people he has narrated on, and he will gather all their narrations in one place. For example, Abu Hurairah, he will gather the narrations, all of them, with this chain. No chapters, no salat, no iman, no chapter this, chapter that. All the narrations he has under this companion who put them all there. And like Aisha, all there, and Abu Bakr, all there, all of his chains that he has like this. And sometimes they'll arrange them in alphabetical order, or they'll arrange them according to virtue, like Al-Imam Ahmed, he has al-Musnad, over 40,000 narrations, and many narrations in al-Musnad. But there are different methodologies. So every book is authored with a different purpose and a different reason. All of these books here, these all have marfu'at. What does that mean? Ahadith and marfu'ah, narrations that are ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only, or almost specifically, not necessarily only, that you will never find anything else, but that's what it's made for, that's what it's authored for. And as for if you want to find narrations of other than that, of other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like narrations of the Sahaba and narrations of the Tabi'een and the likes, then there are other works like these works here, Al-Musannafat. Like Al-Musannafat, there's a Musannaf of Abdul Razak, the one the author he mentioned here, and likewise the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba. These are from the most well-known. And then there are other books likewise, yani, that have collections of the narrations of the Sahaba, but this is from them. This is from them. And if you want to find the narrations and the understanding of the Sahaba, you will look in these books. So this is a benefit. After this, he mentioned also from the book of وَأَخْرَجُهُ Ibn Abi Hatim. Ibn Abi Hatim, his name is Abdul Rahman Ibn Abi Hatim, and his father is Abu Hatim. Abu Hatim al-Razi. His name is Muhammad Ibn Idris. His name and his father's name is the same as another great scholar, Muhammad Ibn Idris. Abu Hatim, his name is Muhammad Ibn Idris. He died in the year 266 or 277, I think it's 266, Abu Hatim al-Razi. And his son is named Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim. His father is Muhammad ibn Idris. Who has that name? Al-Shafi, Ahsant. Al-Imam al-Shafi, his name is Muhammad ibn Idris. Idris al-Shafi, Abu Abdullah, he died in 204. Yani, but Abu Hatim al-Razi, yani, even his son likewise was a great scholar of hadith, and his son here, Ibn Abi Hatim, Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Hatim, he died in the year 328, and he has many works. He has a Tafsir Ibn Abi Hatim. This is where this one is narrated from here, and Allah knows best. He mentioned here, yani, in his Tafsir. Also, he has another work called Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil, from the great works with regards to criticizing the narrators. A book called Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil, which was originally a book by Al-Bukhari named Tariq Al-Kabir. And he read that book to his father. He read the book of Bukhari to his father and got commentary, and likewise to his uncle, Abu Zur'a al-Razi. Naam. These are some of the resources the author he used, and you see that he is well versed with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise with the resources. Yani to imagine the author, yani in his day, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he died in the year 1206. In 1206, they didn't have Jawal. They didn't have phone, they didn't have internet, they didn't even have printed books, like they didn't have printing presses. This is not that long ago, yani compared to a lot of Islamic history and works. But even in that time, there were no books. The books that are written, they would have scribes that will write the books and transcribe them and write them and copy them and the likes like this, and they'll be on parchments. Some of them will be parts here and parts there, or they'll be, if they're binding, they'll be really big. They'll be really big. For example, today the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, it's about that long in the books that we have. The Musnad of Imam Ahmed is about that long. How long do you think it was? About almost as long as the table. 50-something volumes, 55 volumes. How long would it be in his time? And he's digging through them and bringing out these benefits. The Musannif Abdul Razak, it's 12 volumes, about like this. But he knows what's in there. He knows what's in there, where it's at, and he takes it out and he arranges it in this manner. The wisdom and the success that the author, he was given, Tafsir ibn Abi Hatim. This book is several volumes. Today, in the prints that we have today, is several volumes. Yet he was given success, not only in this work, rahimahullahu ta'ala, but likewise in other works, that we know of, like especially Kitab al-Tawheed. Especially in his book, Kitab al-Tawheed, how he was able to dive deep into the books of the scholars and bring out these fawaid. May Allah have mercy on him and allow us to benefit from his work. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. To make a correction with regards to Abu Hatim Muhammad ibn Idris al-Razi رحمه الله تعالى, after verifying the issue, he died in the year 277. Abu Hatim Muhammad ibn Idris, he died in the year 277. And as for Ibn Abi Hatim, which is Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Hatim, he was mentioned likewise in the class, Sahib al-Tafsir al-Musnad, he died in the year 327. I mentioned 328 approximately, but after reviewing the issue, it's 327, and this is what the people of knowledge have mentioned. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.